Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. If you're struggling to balance your caseload and bring in new clients, I urge you to give Daylight a try. It transforms the way you manage your day-to-day and can save you hours each week. I've been using Daylight, as you know, for years to manage clients and cases. It's also the Mac CRM that my good friend Victor Medina's law firm uses as well. There's a new team view in Daylight that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on all in one cohesive view. If you're interested in trying out Daylight, visit marketcircle.com/daylight to start a free 30-day trial. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 66 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, as always. Today, I'm delighted to bring you an interview with Stacy Brown Randall. Now, Stacy is a young woman who has a consulting business, a coaching business down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And as you're going to hear, the focus of her business is on the process of generating growth by referrals. And if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you'll know that when we talk about marketing law firms and solo practices, the overwhelming number one source of new clients is referrals. Now, how you get referrals, that's debatable. You know, some people will say, well, we want to use good search engine optimization on our website to bring referral potential clients in that then can be a referral source, or we want to use our website itself through content marketing. But Stacy's approach is a person-to-person approach, and she believes that relations or referrals come from relationships, and that those relationships come from connections, and that connections are built through ongoing touch points. And you're going to hear her talk about her three platinum principles for referral generation and growth through referrals. And I think it's a really interesting framework that is person-to-person oriented, and I think will fit really well for most attorneys and solo practitioners. So I'm delighted to bring to you, without further delay, Stacy Brown Randall. Stacy Brown Randall, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm delighted you could spend some time with us today, Stacy. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
So, you know, I am where I am today because out of sheer necessity. I had a first business that failed, and when I realized why it failed, and then I had the opportunity to go back out on my own after leaving a corporate job that was kind of in between my failed business and the one I have now, I realized that I had to do some things different or I was going to end up with another business failure under my belt. And I wanted to avoid that at all costs. So I literally started building a way to generate business in my business in a way that I enjoyed and that worked for me. And that happened to be referrals. And when I started uncovering how to do that in a different way than most of what people would tell you that's out there today giving advice on referrals, that really attracted a lot of my clients asking the question. And then fast forward now a couple of years, and that is what I teach people how to do is how do you generate referrals in a way that works for you, but definitely without asking. And it came completely from necessity of needing to figure out how to make a second business way more successful than the first business that failed.
You know, I think this is kind of like the perfect storm because I just got through reading an article this morning that said that entrepreneurs are far more benefited by failing once or twice first before they actually land on something that can be successful for them. They'll learn much more from failing first and making all those mistakes. And in my own case, you know, that's clearly what I did. I had previous businesses that I made all the mistakes in before I became an attorney. Now I make different ones, but I don't make those ones anymore. And the other thing is that you know, for most solo practitioners and small law firms, their number one concern is how do I bring new clients in? And then if you ask, take a survey of most attorneys, you say, well, what's your number one marketing methodology? They say, well, nothing beats referrals. So referrals is clearly in the legal community, the primary methodology for going about and getting new clients. Now, maybe we may change how we do that. And that's why we want to talk to somebody like yourself who has researched this whole process and come up with a little different take on how to go about getting referrals. So why don't we talk about that a little bit and how you came to that understanding?
Sure. You know, I think you're absolutely right. I think that most of the time when you talk to business owners or whether they're an attorney, a CPA, you know, a doctor, a dentist, you know, it doesn't really matter. When you talk to any business owner, they all say the same thing. And they'll say the best way to generate business is by referral. And then if you dig a little deeper and you ask the question, okay, great. So how many referrals are you generating every year? Or what's the percentage of your clients that come through referrals? Or how many did you receive last year? Then you just everybody kind of goes silent.
But they can't answer that question.
They can't. And sometimes they can't answer that question because they just don't know their numbers. And that is like, that's a trap that I think a lot of business owners find themselves in, that they don't actually know their numbers the way that they should. But usually it's because they actually aren't receiving referrals. And when they do receive referrals, they truly just believe that it must be sporadic. It must be luck. And I have folks that I've talked to before that have said, yeah, I get some referrals. It's just kind of random, sporadic, really inconsistent. And I always tell them, I bet you could tell me what you did leading up to generating that referral. And I can tell you exactly the process that you followed. Like you could tell me what you did and I would tell you how it fell into a process that actually led to that person referring you, particularly if you didn't ask. Because personally, I believe if you're asking for a referral, it's like the redheaded stepchild to cold calling.
Yeah.
It feels the same way. And the people on the other end of that request feel the same way they feel when they receive a cold call, which is kind of like, I didn't want to take this call. And when we're having coffee and you ask me for a referral and I lean back in my chair, I'm like trying to distance myself from you, Neil. It's like, yeah, I didn't ask for you to ask me that either. I didn't, you know, so, and I think that's the thing that most people get stuck on is, and that's what I found when I realized that I could build a business based on referrals. Like I believe in relationships. I believe that, you know, particularly for business owners, solopreneurs that are in that place where they have to build relationships before their client will decide to do business with them, that know, like, and trust factor, which, let's be honest, you know, picking an attorney comes right down to that, right? Same thing with picking other types of providers as well, or, you know, people who are going to be a resource or a strategic partner for you, kind of someone that you use as an advisor. And I think in that way, when you think about being that resource, being that strategic advisor, being that person they see as someone that they can go to for advice, when we're in that place, right, It's all the other sales techniques and tactics that we're really not interested in deploying anymore because it moves us out of that space. But generating referrals keeps us in that space of that expert, right? The person you need something from and I can help you with it and you trust me to provide it to you. And so most people know they need referrals. You don't have to teach them or tell them the why. Like, they get it. They have no idea how to do it because all the advice out there is, well, if you want them, ask. And then what's worse is they say, and if you're not willing to ask, you must have some head trash that you have to get over. And none of that didn't sit right with me. I couldn't stand when I heard that. And I was like, wait, I can generate referrals. I can do it without asking. And then I kind of was like, well, can I? I don't know. Let's see. And because I had to have a business that could be more successful and actually produce an income this time around, you know, from that perspective, I just figured it out and then realized that I had figured it out. Like, it was kind of like, I want to generate referrals and I put a process together. And then I realized, yep, that's exactly what I'm doing. And then I realized, and I'm not asking through any of it. And that's when the light bulb went off. And that's what my clients started to notice. And that's when I started teaching my clients and they started having the same kind of success and results. But it was really this cool process of being like, I want to generate referrals and I'm bound and determined to do it differently than how every other book and expert out there is telling me I have to do it by asking. Now I just got to go figure it out.
Well, so what is different about your approach to generating referrals? Because, you know, from what I understand and hear in your description, it's all based on the potential client, as you said, knowing you, liking you, and trusting you. I had a mentor a while back who made the observation about, in the legal space, clients aren't really in a position to be able to evaluate one attorney versus another in terms of their technical abilities or their legal abilities, and that whether they hired you or not came down all completely on whether they felt that they knew you or they liked you and they trusted you. So how do you get over that hurdle a little differently than what has been described in the past?
So I think that it is that exact know, like, and trust factor, which is exactly why everyone should be trying to build a business based on referrals. Because you're right, and your mentor is absolutely right. I don't know the first thing about being a great attorney. I probably know when I need one, right? But I probably don't know the first thing about what makes you better than the next person. So what am I more likely to do, right? I'm more likely to go to someone and say, well, if you have this problem, who would you go to? And I would go looking for someone that I trusted, and I would have them tell me who they trust. And it's that trust factor that's at the end, right, of the sales continuum, the old sales axiom of know, like, and trust, that if you tell me, Neil, hey, I trust Sarah, then I'm going to automatically trust Sarah because I trust you. And it's that piece of the continuum that I think makes referrals so lucrative, but also it makes referrals such a great way to build your business because they walk in already trusting you. They still have to get to know you a little bit and decide that they like you and they actually want your help, right? And you have to do the right thing and make sure that you can help them, that they're the right fit from your perspective. But the truth is that when they walk in the door and they already have that trust factor, they're always yours to lose because they just need somebody to tell them what to do because obviously they need help or they wouldn't be there, right? They wouldn't be looking for help from somebody else if they knew what their problem was and how to solve it. So I would say your mentor is absolutely right. It's never about that I think you're a great attorney. It may be that I may think you have a great reputation, but if somebody I know and trusts you and tells me to talk to you, then hey, Neil, you're my guy. Like that's who I'm going to talk to. And that's how most of us make big, big decisions. We don't go searching on Google for the best attorney, the best financial advisor, the best CPA. We may search for the best photographer on Google, but big life decisions like that, or someone that's going to be a part of our story moving forward, you know, that trust factor is so important. So I always tell folks in the referral process without asking, it's still the same thing of anything from a referrals. It's leveraging that trust factor to keep it and to maintain it. But what my process comes down to is how do we take care and stay in front of in a meaningful and memorable way with our referral sources, because they're the hero of this entire process. We're not the hero because we received the referral, and the prospective client is not the hero. The hero in the story is the referral source. And so we need to make sure that we have a process in place. And I kind of build that process, what I call experiences, referral experiences, based on three platinum principles. And it's those platinum principles that are at the foundational point of everything that I build with my clients in terms of what their referral generating plan looks like. And so it's building that right experience. And then the secret sauce is the weaving in of the right and the correct language that allows you to plant seeds, that allows you to show thanks, and that allows them to think about you without you ever having to say, by the way, who else do you know who needs a will or a trust?
Well, let's kind of take a deeper dive there, because what I think I hear you saying is that the starting point for all of this, in terms of building a solid referral network, is ultimately great client service to your existing clients.
It is. It's the one piece I can't ever help any of my clients with. Whether they're doing a VIP day with me or they are doing in my online program, I always tell them the number one foundation is you better do great work, because nobody refers average work. Nobody refers average work, right? No one talks about it and no one refers it. So you better do great work. You better have what I refer to as a sticky client experience. And I actually have another program that is, it's called the Sticky Client Experience. And it teaches people, it's a much shorter program because this stuff is not rocket science. We're just not taught this stuff, right? No one's taught this stuff when they're in college or they're in law school or, you know, medical school or whatever it is. We're not taught how to do these types of things. We have to go figure them out. And so, you know, when you think about it, providing good service is not good enough. It has to be great service, but you have to be able to do it in a consistent way for all your clients. So you have to be able to build it in a way that it becomes a repeatable process for you. But what it feels like for that client going through it is that it's an experience that leaves them feeling good. So you're right. A lot of clients will come to me like, I'm not getting the referrals I need. I'm like, okay, first, it could just be that you haven't identified who your referral sources are and you're not taking good enough care of them and you don't know the right language to use to generate more. That could be one. It could be that you're turning everybody off because you ask. That could be two. Or the third thing is that you're not referable. You're not worthy of a referral because your client experience is so choppy that I may stay with you as an attorney, but I'm sure as heck not going to refer my friend.
Well, it seems to me like in a law office and maybe other businesses as well, but if I'm going to just look at my own law office as an example, I have, you know, three different categories of referral sources. I have existing and previous clients as one, other attorneys as two, and the third one is other professionals such as financial planners and doctors and what have you. So is it the same process for all three different categories of referral sources?
So almost, but there's a slight variation for your centers of influence. So when you have a client that refers you, the benefit of having a client that refers you is they know intimately what it's like to work with you. So when someone says, well, who do you use? You're the name, right? You're the guy. And then they can say, and this is why, and this is what it's like. They can speak intimately about it. So you actually, whereas we want to take really good care of our clients that refer us, we actually get to do a little bit less, to be honest, because they, if we're constantly doing work for them, then they don't really have an opportunity to forget about us as much, unless you are, you know, more transactional driven. And if you're more transactional driven, like I think about myself as a business coach, like you may coach with me for a year or two or maybe 3 years, but when we're done, right? And so I've got to figure out a way to extend that client experience to you when you're no longer an active client or a current client so that I can, you know, continue to stay top of mind, you know, to generate referrals if that's something that is a client that you are capable of giving. I would say not all clients are capable of referring. You got to figure out, I typically say, look for the 30% that are. So, you know, when we have our centers of influence, though, they don't have the benefit of knowing what it looks like to work with us intimately. And the truth is, they actually don't, they care on a level, but not as deep as we think they care. So this isn't about, oh, because you don't know what it's like to work with me, let me put you through the process so you can learn it. They're not really interested in that. But what they need more from you is just more FaceTime or more connection time, which does not have to be face-to-face, of course, if you're not close, right? You don't have the proximity. If you're across the country and you have a referral source, they still need the connection and they need more of it because they're not a, you know, an active client, you know, seeing you all the time right now because they're talking about their case or their issue or their problem or whatever it is.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. In addition, I want to tell you about my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They build a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. And this helps me generate more referrals and more business for my firm. Their services are designed to help lawyers get better results out of the resources they're already investing into marketing and business development. They create an internet foundation that makes all of your marketing work better. That's because these days, almost every potential client is going to check out your web presence before they hire you. It's important that you create a strong first impression. And that's what Spotlight Branding has done for me, and they can do it for you too. So visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for our podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE. Well, let's go back then to these three platinum principles that you referred to as part of your process. What are they? What should we be paying attention to?
Sure. So the first one is the first of the platinum principles is whatever we do for our referral sources, whether they're clients or centers of influence, whatever we do, it has to be all about them. It must be all about them. This is not the time for you to send them a squeezy ball with your logo on it. Because that is all about you. And that you are not the hero.
Yeah, I hear that.
Right. So the hero, remember, the hero of this, of the, if we know our cast of characters well, there are three characters. There's the prospective client, you as the service provider, and the referral source. And the hero is always the referral source. So what is it about them that they would want from you? And it's unpacking what that looks like. Now, when I work with my clients on either on the online program or one-on-one, you know, we typically break everything down, and there's just a couple of categories that we can break everything down that we can do for folks that makes it all about them. So to give you an example, the easiest one for me to talk about, you know, is the ability to thank them. How do you thank them for mattering and supporting to your business? How do you thank them for the referrals? And if they're not referring you, but you think they should be, right? How do you start to show that you value them? You may not use the direct language of thanks for the referral, but it's, you know, the thanks for the support. Like, there's not many things that they need that make it all about them, but we definitely have to be intentional when we're building out this experience that they're going to have from us on a year in and year out basis, is it's got to be all about them. So let me give you a great example. So I know my referral sources really well. Because I just happen to work with a lot of business owners or business development people that happen to also have children. So they are running a business and they have kids. I happen to work in that world too. I have three kids and I'm running a business. And so knowing that my referral sources, about 80% of them, and my top referral sources in specifically are working parents, I recognize what I call an off-guard holiday, which for me, yes, I'm going to recognize Christmas, Hanukkah, right? But I'm also going to recognize Mother's Day and Father's Day. And that no one's expecting. And I always tell my clients, remember your M&Ms, be meaningful and memorable. So you can be funny, will allow you to be memorable, but be meaningful as well. And you don't always have to be both at the same time, but your goal is to be memorable and meaningful. So the fact that I know that my top referral sources are parents, and I'm recognizing Mother's Day and Father's Day. Like, all my clients that are parents may get a Mother's Day and Father's Day card, but my top referral sources are going to get a gift. And I don't always do gifts. And this is not like, oh, just send a gift every month and you'll be good to go. No, you'll be broke before anything else happens. But it just so happens that one of the things I choose to do in this time and in this time and space with my referral sources is a gift. And so last year for Mother's Day, I sent each of my top referral sources. So these are people who refer me, you know, consistently and more than just a couple of year. They received a Wonder Woman water bottle. And so with that Wonder Woman water bottle, right, my logo wasn't anywhere on it. It was a Wonder Woman water bottle that I bought online. Well, my assistant bought it online and that we packaged up and that we sent out to them. And on the card, it said, "Never forget you are a hero. Happy Mother's Day, Stacy." And so that language was very specific to make the connection point that I recognize what you do and I'm honoring you as a working parent. And then here's something for you. When they removed that card, my name left that gift completely. And my logo, my name, nothing about me is on that water bottle because that's about them.
Yeah, I can see where that also would apply to something like I was just chatting with you offline about for a referral client who you happen to know has a child graduating from high school or college.
Right.
It's an off-guard holiday, something to recognize.
Absolutely. You know, I just had a great referral source of mine that had a baby, right? Now, I can't calendar that in because I don't know, right, who's all going to have a baby this year, right? Like, you don't always know that in advance. And we build out our referral experience over like a year-long basis. I want people to see what this looks like for a full year because I want to process it into your business so that you actually will execute on it. Because if I can automate it on some level, you're more likely to do it. And so when we build this out over a year, we're looking for the key touch points, right? There's certain, you know, there's usually a certain number I tell folks to stay within, but we're looking for a key number of touch points and we're looking for the ones that'll be memorable and meaningful that'll give you the opportunity also to weave in the correct language. And so that just happens to be one of mine, but it's all about them. And you can always go off script. You know, when my client had a baby, right? And what we were talking about before, like with somebody graduating from college or whatever, you can always go off script and do anything when you think about a referral source. There is something that says there's too much, gets a little creepy, but in situations like that, it's not too much. It's thank you for thinking of me.
Well, as long as it's genuine, right?
Right. It's got to be authentic and it's got to be genuine. And that's actually platinum principle number two. It's got to be authentic and genuine, and it has to be something you are willing to do. So for instance, it doesn't matter to me how much my referral sources would love to go play golf. I am not going to take them to play golf because I can't play. And unless I can sit on the golf cart with a beer and drink a book, I'm really actually not any fun. So the truth is, whereas I may send them to go play golf, I am certainly not going to insert myself in that situation because it's not authentic to me. It's not genuine and I won't enjoy it.
It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like it's you.
Right, exactly. And so here's another example one of the folks that I worked with through my online program. You know, when he was thinking through what his experience would look like, we were having an offline conversation and he just said, you know, at the end of the day, at 5 o'clock, I want to go home and I want to be a dad. I don't want to have to build a plan that's going to have me buying tables at charity events and inviting my referral sources. I don't want to have to take, you know, referral sources and clients that should be referral sources to dinners every night. Like, I want to go home at 5 o'clock and I want to be a dad and I want to coach my kids on their sports teams and I want to be in the front yard playing with them and I want to be present. So we have to honor that. It would not have been authentic to him if his plan involved a whole bunch of evening things. And the truth is there is so much unlimitedness in terms of what you can do that you can build a plan any way possible that works for you. You just got to know, well, what do they want? And what am I willing to do so that it feels authentic? Which then leads us into platinum principle number three is, well, it's got to keep me top of mind. So then what, you know, obviously it's that the idea behind, okay, so what's going to keep me top of mind? And how often do I have to do these things to keep me top of mind? And when we build everything we build on a year-long basis following those three platinum principles, that's really, I mean, and then weaving in the language, which is kind of like that secret sauce piece, that's really it. I mean, most people who go through my system or go through my process will be like, okay, that was really easy. I never would have thought about it. It's usually what they say, like, I never would have come up with it, but going through it, that was really easy. It wasn't painful. I would feel comfortable doing it. And the good news is that you've got a ton of clients who are having results on it. So I more than likely this should work for me as well. And I always say, as long as you stick to the system, and as long as you keep it going, because going for the short-term hit won't be successful. And you've got to have some long-term sustainability because being referable and generating referrals is a long-term game. When clients go through my program, I say, I do want you to have success in your first 30 days, 60 days, 6 months, but I'm actually more interested in you telling me 3 years from now, how much of percent of your business is coming through referrals and that percentage being larger than it was the first year. I'm more interested in the sustainability of this because here I am, 4 years in my business with this triple digit referral generation every year. And it has literally changed how I run my business from a business coach who would run around like crazy coaching 5 days a week to going on a wait list on a year long basis and only coaching 2 days a week.
Well, one of the things, Stacey, that I like about this whole approach is that it's person oriented, it's people to people oriented, because I think a lot of times when folks want to explore how do I get new clients or a steady stream of clients, they're looking for that impersonal magic bullet. Is it search engine optimization on my website? Is it content marketing, through newsletters and what have you? But what I like about this is you're building relationships, person-to-person relationships. And that's not going to happen overnight. It is a long-term process, but it has the highest percentage of reward.
It does. And I will tell you, we're also not looking for you to have hundreds of these people you feel like you have to go now maintain a relationship with. Most people come in somewhere from 5 to 10, upwards of 20 to 30. But the sweet spot for most people is in that first dozen. And that's true. And it depends on what volume you need. I mean, I look at some folks and I'm like, oh, you need way more volume. You're probably going to need more. But, I think about one attorney that I worked with, this personal injury attorney. It's at a small firm. And the truth is she's going to generate all of her referrals from her centers of influence. She will get referrals from clients when they know of someone who has been through what they went through, but she's not actively trying to remind her clients of her because she knows she just helped them through the worst time in their life.
Right. They're going to remember her.
Right. They're going to remember her no matter what. She doesn't need to do anything. And she doesn't want to remind them.
Of course.
She knows, right. When they need her, they'll need her and they will remember her. So, her entire system was built around, centers of influence, which for her was naturally going to be other attorneys who did not do personal injury work. And when she looks at what she had, and her numbers, when you consider what she looked like before and then after, is she would, when we first started working together, she'd say, I get about 6 to 7 referrals a year. I can manage about 12 cases because some of her cases, take time and they're longer. She's like, and most of those come internally from a partner who one day is going to retire and I'm going to be in trouble. And I'm kind of paraphrasing what she said, but that was the main point. She's like, he's going to retire and I don't have another source of generating clients. And I want to do this for a really, really long time. So I need some sustainability. So she started on the program. I taught her everything, right? She started on the program. She started doing it. And it was like August. I think it was like 2014. It was like August of 2014. And by December of 2014, just following that 5-step process and building it. And then she was an excellent student because she did what she was, what she built to do. She went from, 6 or 7 to 12. So she doubled her numbers right away. Then she spent all of 2015 on the program and she got up to almost 30, 27 referrals was the number she received the next year. But keep in mind, she can only take 12 cases. So what did that do for her law practice? What did that do for her practice? And thinking about you've got 27 options and you only need 12. Now we get to be picky. Now we get to choose the things that really excite us. Now we get to choose the things that we're not just taking anything that comes in the door that fills the docket because we want to be ready when the right thing walks in the door. And she had options.
Well, that's the nice problem to have. We all want to get to the point where we can either be selective about the cases that we take or use that increase to sustain growth.
Right. And it's interesting because now, throughout 2016, following the process again, and here in 2017 doing as well, she's now brought on another attorney because she has that type of workload, which is great because she didn't want to keep being, she was the only person in her office who did what she did. And she wanted that, that ability to have the camaraderie with somebody else.
Well, I can hear, our listeners who have been through something like this before, I can hear them saying, but Stacey, how do I manage all this? How do I keep track of all of this? Because it's one thing to say, collect these potential referral sources and centers of influence and keep track of this, that, and the other data point about them. But what is there a tool do I use or is gigantic notebook or what's the process that for managing this whole ordeal?
Yes, my attorneys and their legal pads, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We always want to know what the tool is. What can I use?
Yes. What is the tool? So the good news is, you know, this is not a complicated process, and we do build it out. And when folks are in my online program or work one-on-one with me, there's a calendar template that I provide that gives you everything you need. And it's literally, to be honest, it's built in Excel. It's super simple, basic, because I have found that that creates no barrier to entry. But the goal there is that we may build out what we're going to do and put it on a year-long Excel type calendar template. But the second piece to that is now we have to get it into your calendar or onto your task list or into your project management or whatever you're using that alerts you to the task you have to do. And so if we put it on the calendar that, hey, in December, you're going to do, let's just say for sake of argument, Christmas cards or Hanukkah cards, right? I don't need to be thinking about that in March or May. I also don't need to forget about it come November or December. So the automation portion, I like my system being simple. I like using tools you already have access to, and meaning tools that you already have access to on your computer that are free, like your calendar, like Excel, and giving you what you need and letting you build it, and then showing you then, okay, now here's exactly how you automate this within your business. Yeah, you're still going to have to put the Christmas card together when Christmas rolls around or Hanukkah rolls around, but it's going to be there in the system to remind you what to do and the steps to do it in, so that all you have to do is execute on it. So yes, there's work involved. You have to do some work. This isn't a silver bullet, like you mentioned earlier, but at the end of the day, we make it as simple as possible so that you're more likely to execute on it.
Well, you're exposing my Achilles heel here, because I'm famous for building this elaborate, beautiful system. In other words, the spreadsheet with all the colors on it and the fonts and a tremendous task list. And I'm all about the process and find myself not actually holding myself accountable to the content of the procedure. So what do we do about that missing piece?
So, if it makes you feel any better, Neil, you're not alone.
Oh, really? I thought I was the only one like this.
Nope. It's so funny. My practice, I started out actually as a certified productivity coach, and then that morphed over time into a business coach, and then it morphed now into, you know, just the Growth by Referrals program. But, you know, it's interesting because I always tell folks is I can tell you how to plan your day, and I can tell you and you can build the system. But if you're not actually going to do the work when the system tells you it's time to do the work, there's really no point. And so what I, you know, from that perspective, I always tell folks that you've got to put it into your calendar, and then you've got to outsource and delegate whatever you can. And even a solopreneur, like I'm a solopreneur, but I still have, you know, kind of a part-time assistant that works with me, and she manages all of this stuff for me. I'm still going to write the notes or whatever, but I didn't deliver or order one of those Mother's Day water bottles last year or this year for Mother's Day this year. Like, she takes care of that. And so there is the ability to outsource and delegate to make sure it happens. And having somebody else who's like keeping you on top of things is really helpful. But you have to make the commitment, and I can't make the commitment for you. I mean, honestly, but I do. This is what I tell folks. If you could stick with it for the first couple of months and see success on any habit you're trying to actually put into place. Let's just use the referral habit, right, for the sake of our argument or this example. If you could put it into place and start seeing results, the minute you start seeing results, you're going to add value to that task and that habit. So you're more likely to keep it going. So I always tell folks, go long enough to see results from it, and then I know you're more likely to keep that good habit going. And it's the same thing with the referrals. You still have to be willing to do it. There's still work involved. I do have like a custom level that I work with clients, and they're like, build it for me, Stacy, and then tell me when to do it. And it's way more expensive, but it is me basically reminding you, and in some cases doing parts for you. And that's my team that does that. But it's mostly reminding you, hey, it's time to do this. Here's how you need to do this. Here's what you need to do. Let me know when you've done it. So, you know, one of my levels definitely has that accountability factor built in. But the truth is, when people start doing this and they commit to the first 3 or 4 months to doing it and they see some results, then all of a sudden they're just more likely and more committed to doing it, because I just took away all the concern and issues and worries about you being able to bring in the revenue you need next month and the next couple of months and hopefully the next couple of years through these referrals.
Well, it's interesting. I'm reminded again of the same mentor that I spoke of earlier, who, by the way, his name is Mark Miranda, formerly from Smart Marketing. Sadly, he is no longer with us, but Mark would also say, it always works better if you do it. Just kind of a little mantra of his. Any system works better if you actually do it. So, Stacey, tell us a little bit about what you offer your clients. I know you have an online program and you have some one-on-one opportunities that people might take advantage of. In a nutshell, tell our listeners a little bit about what they might engage you for and how they might go about doing so.
Absolutely. So there's a couple of options of how I work with my clients. Some of them are much more the do-it-yourselfers. Give me that online program. I'll go through the 7 video-based modules and I'll do what Stacey says in each video and I'll build it out and I'll make it happen. And so the online version is great for them. There's 2 levels. There's the basic do-it-yourself and then there's a pro level that gets you a little bit of time with me to make sure you're on the right track and you're doing the right thing. Then I have the client who says, I just want to sit with you, Stacey, virtually, because I can do this obviously through Skype or through Zoom virtually, or I'll come to Charlotte or I'm in Charlotte and we'll do it live. And so that's fine too. And we spend about 4 to 4.5 hours together in a VIP referral building day. And anything I would have taught you in the online program, I'm just going to do with you live face to face, and we're going to build it together. And then you're going to leave with a plan to execute on it. I do offer workshops. I have a lot of companies that will hire me to come in and train like a large portion of their sales team, or people like a company like financial advisor will bring me in to work with a number of their financial advisors. So I do group trainings and individual workshops as well. But for most folks, I find that either the one-on-one VIP or the online program, they're two entirely different price points. So there's either you're going to want to do it and want to do it and need to do it from a budget conscious perspective, and there's an option for that. And the person who's like, let's just get it done and let's pay for that. Then there was obviously something, you know, with the VIP part that gives those to folks. But at the end of the day, what you walk with is most important, which is your referral generating plan, completely built, customized for you, your own individual plan. And then it's automated and built within your business and you know how to track it to keep it going. And that's ultimately what we want, is we want to have it done so that you don't walk out thinking, what am I going to do? You walk out thinking, now I just have to do it.
Just have to execute.
Yep.
How do our listeners get a hold of you? What's the easiest way to reach out to you?
Absolutely. So, you know, what I'd love to do is I know some of your listeners are probably hearing me for the very first time. And so they're probably not going to be the type that's just going to jump on, like, let me just buy an online program. And, you know, that program opens and closes. It's not always open from that perspective. And so I always tell folks, you know, why don't you download one of my resources? I've got one that I'll give to your listeners. It's called The 7 Deadly Sins of Generating Referrals. And that'll give me opportunity for you just to learn a little bit more about me. I've got a Facebook group called Referrals Without Asking that anyone can join. And that's a great community of people that help each other. And of course, I'm in there answering questions. You know, it's kind of figure out if how I work works for you and understand my philosophy and my opinions and kind of what I teach. And so do that by downloading the report, The 7 Deadly Sins, joining the Facebook group. If I have another 5-day challenge coming up, you'll be able to link to that to the wait list. And I'll put this all on one page just for your listeners.
Oh, that's kind of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that'll be Growth by Referrals. That's referrals with an S. So growthbyreferrals.com/TLE for The Law Entrepreneur. So growthbyreferrals.com/TLE. And I'll just put those resources on that page and they can learn about it. That's going to put them on my website too if they want to learn about my programs. Get on the wait list for the Growth by Referrals online program. You can book a VIP session pretty much at any time. But the online program opens and closes just so I can manage the influx of new people that I'm trying to help.
Sure. Well, Stacey, it sounds wonderful. I mean, it sounds like you really have your arms around this entire problem. And I know, as I said, this is one that attorneys struggle with all the time. So I think we'd all be well advised and profit from taking advantage of that offer. And we will have that on our show notes for those of you who are listening in the car. Are not able to jot that down, growthbyreferrals.com/TLE. Find out a little more about Stacey Brown Randall and her a program of building a referral sources and growing through referrals. So, Stacey, I want to thank you for being a part of The Law Entrepreneur today and ask that maybe we can get back in touch with you a little later on and take a deeper dive into a little more.
That would be perfect. I'd love that. Thank you, Neil.
All right. So thank you so much, Stacey, for being a part of The Law Entrepreneur. Hey, so how about that? Wasn't she great? Stacey Brown Randall. Listen, I'd just like to wrap up here and thank you again for listening to The Law Entrepreneur and invite you to like our Facebook page. You can find it by searching on The Law Entrepreneur specifically at The Law Entrepreneur in the Facebook search window. That'll take you to our Facebook page and you can see a bunch of stuff that we do there, posts that we provide and share and that kind of thing. Or you can join our Facebook group. We have a group, doesn't everybody, where a little more interactivity takes place, a little more interaction between various members who are listeners of the podcast. And so I'd be delighted if you would take the time to do either of those. But in the meantime, I want to thank you for being here today and ask that maybe you share podcast with a friend of yours, somebody, a colleague that you think might benefit from listening. And we'll see where we go with this on next week. Okay. So thanks ever so much for being a part of The Law Entrepreneur. We'll see you next week.